And welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley. I am Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And today we're inviting you to join us in our ongoing adventure exploring our Edible Valley.
Great. Thanks, Darren. So things are a little different today. Unfortunately, Blaine couldn't be in today with us. So Darren's luckily stepped up and after his interview decided to help me out here a little bit. So thank you for coming in, Darren.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah. No, it's great to have you in the studio and we can chat about a few things. And then there our main feature, Leah Weinberg from Weinberg Good Food down in Buckley Bay.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me. Hello.
We're very glad to have you with us today.
Welcome.
So I guess we should, just before we get to interviewing you, we'll talk about a few things that sort of came up over the week. Things have been a little different for myself. We kind of missed an episode last week. Fortunately, because we broke into Beyond the Kitchen Door. Teresa and Sue were happy enough to let us in there and play around with some of the food, some local food. And we sort of started doing some, made a dinner, basically did a 6-course dinner.
Really?
Yeah, 6 courses.
And they were?
Wow, it's a good list. What did I start off with? I did a smoked sablefish mm-hmm. on a nice carrot salad mm-hmm. With the Tree Island yogurt. Just mix that
in. Right. You've been talking about getting in your hands
yeah.
into that Tree Island yogurt.
Finally got my hands on the Tree Island yogurt. Quite nice. What else did I get into there? We did a little bit, bacon-wrapped oysters, Fannie Bay oysters. So we got mm-hmm. some Fannie Bay oysters. And tat soy.
Oh.
From Eat More Sprouts.
Right.
From their garden in the back there. They sent me some tatsoi, which is quite an interesting in Asian greens.
Right.
So I just sort of sauteed that a little bit with some curry, and we had the bacon-wrapped oysters in there. So it's kind of a spinachy, mm-hmm. but a little, I guess, more mustard greeny.
Oh, wow.
So it had a little, nice. Little bit of flavor to it. It
was
quite nothing. Next up, what did we get to? Oh, I did a chef's salad. Mm. We've been using so much tannadized pork lately.
Right.
That I had the tannadized ham.
Mm. Right.
So I had a little bit of tannadized ham and I did a buttermilk vinaigrette or dressing, mm-hmm. toss that all in a cucumber and, you know, some local eggs. It was nice. A nice little mix
sounds
there.
Amazing.
And some cheddar from Courtney Cheddar.
Nice.
Which is nice. So I was able to keep it all local on there. We finished off with, Eat More Sprouts, donated us a pumpkin. So we got to break that down in, pumpkin soup.
Nice.
Could not resist it.
Yeah.
I did bring my little secret bottle of, pumpkin oil,
mm-hmm.
which, I imported from Austria, which was quite nice. they're big fans of the, pumpkin seed oil over there.
I actually received some of that as a gift from a German friend.
Really? Yeah. I think they throw it on everything there. So I'm like, I love it. It's got a nice flavor to it.
Right.
You know.
You apparently had video of that or were attempting to have video of that.
We did have some good video of that and, you know, we ran out of space. There's a lot of me running all over the place because I'm trying to do 6 courses at once. We learned that when you do a presentation like that, you have everything in front of you and you do one dish.
Right.
Yeah. Which is completely out of what I'm used to doing of 17 dishes and running around with my head chopped off.
So. Right.
It all came up. We did, Blaine cleaned up a pork, a whole half of pork.
Yeah.
And we did pork loins. And I did a little kale and apple stuffed pork loin with some chanterelle mushrooms that Blaine found on a bike ride. So he's a forager.
Wow.
So. And then, of course, this wasn't really as local, but I got my hands on some chocolate mousse just to finish it all off. So everyone left happy. Got to sample some wines. We tried some local wines. So it was a good night. We had a lot of fun. So
wow.
It was a good.
Sorry I missed it.
It was a bit of a thank you for some of the people that had helped us out with
of course.
Doing the mm-hmm. putting the show together and stuff like that. So yeah, we had fun. So that was our big test kitchen. So mm-hmm. I still haven't got photos yet. Drex was in there with the camera popping photos off and he hasn't sent them to me yet, but we're going to get those all together and put some stuff up there and hopefully I can get some recipes up because
that'd be fantastic.
A few days off for the next little bit. So
nice.
Wow.
Good start.
A few days off. Never have few days off.
I know. It's great. That's basically, I'm doing some staff change up.
Right.
So got some new people.
Affording a little time off for you to pursue pursue your other interests.
Yeah, exactly. So,
shall I just chat?
Feel free to join in. No, feel free to join in.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Next up, we wanted to a shout out to Bisque Restaurant because apparently they've just hit the 5-year mark.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Steve. Yeah. If you're listening.
That's right. Anything else you know that's going on there, Darren?
No. I mean, I know there's a couple of things going on. I don't know. There's one thing that's going on tonight, unfortunately. By the time everybody listens to this, it'll have already happened. But the Tin Town Table, again.
Right.
I know this isn't the first, but I don't know how many in they are. I know this is at least their third, if not more.
I've done one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Actually, that was how we kind of got this all going.
Was it really? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, helped out with some of the funds to get us going. Oh, nice. So
I wasn't even aware of it until I was at an event with my brother, a family event with my brother the other night. And my brother, of course, works with Tria. He's part of Tria. And I happened to look over his shoulder while he was running over his proposed menu for the night. And I was just, I have to be there. What's that? and he told me all about it. So I said, super. I mean, as soon as we get back to town, I'm definitely going to make sure that I'm there. So yeah, he's put together a fantastic menu with his partners in crime at Tria. And I don't know, do you want me to run over the menu really quickly? I have
it right in front of me. Really quick, okay. And then we'll get on to our interview.
Sure, yeah. So tonight, this is what I'm going to be enjoying. Sorry, none of you will get to partake in this.
Or maybe
but I'm going to be having carrot flan with pea shoot salad and anise pickled carrots. The second course is a celery root velouté with bacon potato hash. Then we have an olive crusted sable fish with fennel, blood orange, and saffron. Then we go into a goat cheese and shallot ravioli with a squash puree, roast mushrooms, and basil. And it's finished off with a poached pear tart with a Riesling thyme caramel and a blue cheese ice cream. Mm. All in all, I've had a couple of those or close to those when my brother makes family dinners. But he's definitely stepped it up for this one, it looks. So I'm excited.
Excited. That sounds like something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I guess
that's pretty much. I guess the other one thing I should add on there is
sure.
Since Blaine's not here, he did want to say that he had a wonderful time at the Union Street Grill because they had their candlelight dinner. They did it again after the November 17th, I believe it was. BC Hydro does a request to all the restaurants to do a candlelight dinner just to save on energy and show you what it's like to dine without power, you know, that whole power smart thing. So they did it again because they had such a great time, and I think it was a good dinner. Blaine said it was quite nice, but I'll let him go into it a little bit more next
week. Have to catch up with him next episode.
So I guess we should get on to the main event.
Yikes.
Leah, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thanks Excellent. For having me.
Yes. So it's Weinberg's Good Foods, small independent operated specialty store in Buckley Bay.
Right.
You mainly deal with organic and local foods.
Yeah. Our focus is organic. We don't have strictly organic food in the store, but the majority of the produce that we carry is. And then we have sort of a wide selection of things that I like. No, we tried to have a little bit of everything. There isn't really a grocery store in that neck of the woods. And so we just wanted to have something that would, you know, save people having to go to town if they don't necessarily want to. And, you know, we're kind of right in the middle of Bowser and Courtney. So we're... You know, it's a bit of a trip if you need an apple or an onion.
There's not much around that area, actually.
No, yeah.
So, convenience store upstairs.
Yeah. So, we're kind of the, you know, the opposite. We're the grocery store downstairs. Yeah.
But plus, you're right beside Fanny Bay Oyster's seafood shop, which is must be a nice bonus for...
It's kind of, it's become more of a one-stop shop in that little spot now, which is nice.
Right.
You can buy some fairly nice wine upstairs, and you can get some yummy seafood. And now if you want an organic steak or some chicken and some nice organic produce and, you know, maybe some fun sort of sauces and that kind of thing.
Quite the picture you're painting there.
It's good. It's not just the ferry anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So even if you're heading across, it's great just to stop in there and catch those things, right? So.
Yeah, and we have we also have coffee. We have espresso and all of those kinds of drinks. So
excellent.
It's a good little place to warm up if you need to in the winter.
Excellent, excellent. So when did the store open?
We opened in March of 2012. Is that what year we're in? 2012.
That is the year.
It's been a busy year. Yeah. We opened in March. And so we are, I guess that makes us about 8 or 9 months old. And we kind of warmed up a little bit in the spring before the crazy, summer and tourist season started. Mm-hmm. And had a bit of a, learning curve kind of summer. It was busy enough, and now we're rolling into winter, and it's good. It's pretty steady, and
That's great.
Yeah, we're having a nice time there.
Wonderful. So what drew you to Buckley Bay? Because you're not originally from here, is that correct?
No, so we moved from Vancouver about 2 years ago, and my family had property in Fanny Bay for a long time, and we were looking for a way to escape the city, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And this seemed like a nice place to be. We really like the valley, and we like Fanny Bay. It's sort of close enough to be, in Courtney if you need to be, but to be in the country.
Quite removed as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it gives us a bit of country. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area too.
It's amazing. And the community is lovely. We've, felt really welcomed, and the support at the store has been incredible, especially from Hornby and Denman. We've been pretty well loved by those guys, which is a nice thing. I wasn't so sure because they both have stores. I didn't.
Right.
But it's worked out really well.
Were you doing something similar over on the mainland, or was this just a new venture for the move?
It sort of evolved a little bit. I had a produce co-op in Vancouver. I had a three-year-old that would only eat apples for about a year, and so I was trying to get him some good ones, and I couldn't really afford them, and I sort of got all the preschool moms together, and we started buying our produce together from Discovery Organics, who's my wholesaler, and they're amazing. Small, kind of family-run wholesaler in Vancouver. And then, I ran the produce co-op for about, 3 years before we moved here.
Wow.
And then I kept it going when we came here, found out about the location, and sort of thought I could combine the two. But really, I'm just doing the store now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of just
evolved.
It evolved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not where I expected to find myself.
I think we can all agree or attest to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
It's funny how those things go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Snowballs a little bit, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Excellent.
Yeah.
So how large is the store?
Not large. It's small. It's really small. It's maybe 1,000 square feet, or probably actually closer to 600 or 700. So we're pretty tiny. We have a couple of big tables outside where we set up most of the produce, and one big freezer we have with meat. And then we have pretty much one kind of cheese, a few varieties from one
supplier.
Thank you.
No yeah. problem. I see you're looking for the word.
I was, and then a variety of kind of specialty treats and that kind of thing. Yeah, and we also have Church Street bread, which is amazing, and people go crazy for that.
They do.
Yeah, the wood-fired bread, and Cumberland Village Bakery brings us croissants, and those are very popular.
Wow.
Yep. And so
you said you were doing with organic meats and poultry.
Yeah. So I bring meat in from Vancouver from Organic World,
right.
But I also carry a few different kinds of local meat. We have Lone Pine beef from Denman Island, and Whole Hog, which is formerly Brambles. So the sausages from Whole Hog,
right.
From Angelina James, which are super yummy.
I started my career with James, actually.
Yeah.
We started at the Kingfishers dishwashers.
So. Is that right?
We go way back. Yeah. So.
Yeah, so they're great people. And Island Bison, of course,
right.
Which has been... And I would like to bring in Tanadice. I just haven't kind of got there yet. So
right.
that'll be probably something I work on. But we also had Halsted Farm was bringing us chicken and sausage. So it just kind of, it changes. Yeah. It's not always the same. That's kind of what I you know, some people might think that you should always have the same thing, but I like to always have it changing.
Yeah, no, that some keeps things it interesting are constant, for sure.
But Oh, and recently, oh my goodness, we got, I brought in, I had some mochia salami. I don't know if you know mochia from Vancouver.
No.
Very lovely salami. They have a retail store on Hastings Street, but it is so popular, I can't get it. It's been back ordered through Christmas. So I brought in a new kind called De Original Sausage out of Vancouver. And he's also an amazing guy. Drews is his name. And he's been making sausage and salami for about 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Incredible old world sort of traditional salami. So that sold out in about one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is an art form to making sausages and you can...
Yeah.
It's something that...
There was an Argentinian guy that came in and I was sampling it and then people were buying it and he bought some and then he came back the next day and he was just beside... He said, I never thought I would taste salami like that again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite something. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely need to make a trip down there when you.
I know. I was just going to say
when
the same
restock,
thing.
When we restock, it's all gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds wonderful. So it sounds like you carry a lot of unique products down there.
I try. Yeah, that's sort of because we don't have a lot of space. I try to have things that aren't necessarily in other places. So that, like for example, our cheese. We carry farmhouse cheeses, which are out of Agassiz. And although I think the island cheeses are amazing and I love them very much, they're available in a lot of different places. And I really only have space for a tiny bit of cheese. So I thought I'm going to try and have something nobody else has for now. And Deborah, who is the head cheesemaker at Farmhouse, is a very special lady. And I think she's one of... 12 or something in North America recognized by the French Cheese Guild. She's very renowned.
Wow.
And her cheese is great. So if for no other reason, you should come and try the cheese.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So I'm already coming down.
Yeah.
You don't have to give me more reasons.
Yeah.
I'm on my way.
Yeah.
So what kind of cheeses does she carry?
Well, the ones we carry, there are three goat's milk cheeses. La Florette, which are they're all pasted cheeses, so they're not like a chèvre, but more of a paste. La Florette, which is sort of the milder of the three. St. George, which is a very sort of salty, goaty, strong cheese, but really good. And then another one, which is called La Pyramide, and it's a ashed cheese, so it's actually covered in sort of a natural wood ash, which she tells me is to sort of maintain the moisture integrity and also help it keep its shape, which it's in a pretty pyramid shape. So
interesting.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. So there are those three. And then there is a incredibly good creamy blue, which is called the Castle Blue. And then there is brie and camembert and goat brie and goat camembert and gouda and goat gouda and cheddar and a country blue, which is sort of more of a Stilton,
right?
Really? A really true, lovely Stilton. So we don't always have all the kinds all of the time, but we generally have the soft cheeses all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big cheese fan. I'm not sure if you can tell.
I can tell.
Yeah.
It shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, that's great. I'm honestly not a blue cheese fan, but
no.
Oh, I am. I'm quite the blue cheese fan.
That's the one that always try.
Yeah,
I
no, you kind of love it or you hate it. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it goes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But there are lots of others.
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot Lady Jane, which is another lovely sort of it's a cow's milk cheese, similar to a brie, but creamy like a brie, but more, a little bit stronger in flavor. Right. Yeah.
So, sorry, you had said, you referenced a few times now how you're somewhat limited in size.
Yeah.
Is there plans to grow, or do you prefer to have this rotating stock and keep it minimal? And
it's hard to say. I really don't know. I think it's too early for me to be able to, know whether I'd like to be bigger. At this point, it's probably all I can handle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But maybe down the road. I mean, one of the other things we have in the store are sort of gifts. We have some really cool prints from some girls in Vancouver called Banquet. And we also carry some of their cards. And then we have some kind of groovy soaps. And that's kind of I love food, but I also love stuff. And I could have a
stuff
whole
is good.
Yeah, store of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I spent about 10 years working in film as a buyer and a set decorator.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love looking for stuff. So
yeah,
I could imagine expanding in that way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting.
It is. It's definitely interesting. Yeah.
So what are some of the difficulties you found with running a store down in Buckley Bay?
I guess because we're tucked around back, that's been a bit of a challenge. And, you know, people generally find us when they're going to the seafood shop and they kind of stumble across and say, oh, you know, I didn't know you were here. And so, you know, we have some signage, but it's, yeah, that would be one of the challenges for sure. And then just, you know, I have two little kids and life can be challenging.
I have two myself.
So juggle all of those things. Those are the primary things. But we have a couple of gals that work for us, and I feel really lucky. I've had some great people, different people over the summer than I do now. But
oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, after this podcast, you'll have at least 5 to 8 more people.
Well, easy. Needs more in the summer.
No, I'm obviously I'm poking fun. Yeah.
So, do you find it? I guess it's even just too new to really notice a difference between the summer and winter. Or are your customers more local, or are they more tourist?
Well, it definitely changes. So we have lots of people who are regulars from Hornby and Denman, and we see them all the time except the summer.
Right.
And so when it's summertime, I think they don't leave, and they just, you know, it's difficult to get on and off the islands.
Yeah, for
sure. And that's their time to make money, and they all have businesses there. So all tourists in the summer pretty much, and the locals kind of go away and go on holidays and do their other things. And then September, you could kind of start seeing people come out of the woodwork a little bit and familiar faces again and
start showing up again.
There's definitely a different rhythm in the winter than there is in the summer, but there's a pretty steady crowd of coffee goers now. Because in the summertime, there are a couple other places to get coffee in the area, but in the winter, not so much.
So you're pretty much the only coffee joint down
on
the...
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, on that side, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So what kind of coffees are you using there?
We sell Creekmore.
Yeah. Creekmore,
yeah.
Okay.
And that, we've been really happy with it, and people seem to be responding really well to it, so... Yeah.
As somebody that doesn't drink coffee anymore, sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with Creekmore.
Oh, they're in Coombs. And they have been in Coombs for a long time. I think David has been roasting coffee for about 18 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And I think might have been affiliated with Karma at some point, and then they became two separate roasters.
So, right.
But it was difficult. There are so many amazing roasters, especially in the Valley. It was a really hard thing to decide which coffee to use. One of the things we kind of wanted was something that was close, because I think it's really important in terms of freshness to have your coffee coming frequently.
Right.
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Coffee doesn't last forever.
No, exactly.
Some people think it does. Yeah.
No. You want it to be... fresh, not like wine.
Exactly. Right. The opposite.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Wonderful. So what's one of the most proudest accomplishments of your store?
Well, getting the doors open, that was really a big one. Yeah, the proudest accomplishment, it's really cumulative, I think, because I feel like it's been something that has evolved, like I said before, and mm-hmm. and I don't think there's any one thing, although I found a really great church pew that I love so much, and it's just that it's a sort of a building of pieces, and it's kind of come together in a way that I'm pretty happy with. Yeah, and great. The response from people, I think people feel or tell me that they're quite happy that we're there. And I guess in a way, my proudest accomplishment would be having a place that feels like community, because I think it's, you know, what I wanted the store to be was a kind of little bit of an anchor for the community and a place where people could come and, you know, talk about whatever and catch up. And sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, the local hairdresser. I get to hear all the all the dirt, and
right.
which is fun. But yeah, I grew up in a little village that had a store like that, and I didn't think about it when I was doing it, but I did think about it afterwards. That I wondered if I was trying to recreate that somehow subconsciously, you know?
Yeah. Wow,
wonderful! Yeah, excellent. So I guess I really want to just get onto a little bit of local scene and say, so what is the importance of, actually, let's just say, start off with organics for you, I guess, as a consumer?
Well, where to begin, right? I just think it's tough because there's local and there's organic. And then, you know, I think that it is really important to... I think it's important to buy organic when you can. I mean, I'm not somebody that could always buy organic, and that is essentially how I ended up where I am right now. And not everybody can do that, but I think it's good for the world in terms of, you know, putting pesticides into the earth, putting, you know, pesticides into your body. And I know with Discovery Organics in particular, as a wholesaler, one of their primary goals is to push fair trade. And they're a really big promoter of fair trade and supporter of fair trade, and have done a number of projects to help growers in Chile and different places become fair trade. So I also think that's a really important thing. And I think local is important because I think food security is a huge issue right now. And
yeah,
I think we live in a place where we can probably sustain ourselves with the land that we have. And I know farmers have a tough time, and I hear over and over again that people don't necessarily realize what the cost of their food is, I think it's really good if we can start to connect people a little bit more with farms and
absolutely
and how food is produced, because you know, we all want to get as good a deal as we can, but we also need to support those people so that they can keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah. We because we're in the middle a little bit, we're kind of between, say, you know, Qualicum and Courtney. And so the closest farm to us, big farm or medium size, is Ironwood. And we deal as much as we can with them. I love Barbara and Brian, and they work harder than anybody I think I know.
I keep seeing their name pop up on the local food challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the farm down there. So yeah, I'm always impressed with what's going on down there. So.
And we've been lucky. We've connected with the Hornby Island and Hornby Denman Growers Association. So we had a lot of things coming, sort of their overflow came to us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, over the course of the summer, which was really great.
Wow.
That's a cool connection.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
So that's it.
Does that answer?
Bad. I think
that's
yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
No. Wonderful, actually. Any other good questions there, Darren?
Wanted to know what that was on your face.
Oh, yeah. My lovely little
Caterpillar.
The hungry caterpillar. That's it. Yeah.
That's right.
No, we're doing I'm in the Movember movement right now.
Right. So
trying to make some money for prostate cancer.
Right.
And support that. So we got Team Atlas on the go. Mm-hmm. We've made some money. I think we're over the $100 mark so far. So we're halfway there. I'm ready to tear my face, at least my upper lip off. But thanks for bringing that up,
Darren. Looks pretty convincing.
Well, I intended on joining you and growing a mustache. And the first few days I thought, well, I can just lazily get by without shaving at all. And then I'll shave it down to a mustache. And now here I am fully bearded.
Like in the beard.
Having no interest in trimming it down to a mustache. Ooh. I must apologize.
I thought that was just how it was. No.
It's new.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Okay.
Was there anything that you still had that you wanted to bring up before we...
Well, I did want to just ask you, this is our favorite last question, is what is your favorite thing about the Comox Valley and what keeps you here? I know it's a big question.
The people.
Yeah.
Honestly, I love the people. I lived in Vancouver for many, many years, and I like the people here.
Yeah, I agree. I lived in Vancouver for very few years, and I came back because I love the people here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a really supportive and great community. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky, and why did it take me so long to figure it out? Yeah. Yeah, so it's good.
Well, we're definitely glad to have you here
Thank
now.
Thank you.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Now we really want to get down and have some salami.
Come and have a coffee.
I will be down there this week, I guarantee. Yeah. I've got the next 2 days off.
Yeah, the cheese is, we just got a big shipment, so there is lots of cheese.
Oh, fantastic.
And hopefully I can get more salami. Drew's basically told me, he's like, there's a huge demand, and so I will just send you whatever I have, and you'll never know what you're going to get, but you'll get it. So I was like, okay.
Great.
That sounds good.
That's an excellent for
he
people.
He sent two kinds of saucisson, like a French and a Spanish, which disappeared in a day.
Wow.
A walnut cacciatore, which also disappeared in 2 days. And what else? A French garlic ring, also gone on the second day, about 10 of them. And then we had mild and spicy chorizo, and I think there might be a couple spicy ones left, but that was it.
Wow.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to...
It was crazy. Like, you sample things, and it usually gets a fairly... It was just bananas. Like, people were just like, I'll take one.
Yeah.
Actually, put two more in. Like,
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Definitely, we know where to get some more sausages. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we can't, but
yeah,
we will soon.
Soon, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming
in
and chatting with us.
Thank you.
It's really nice to meet you. And how do we find out about these Tin Town table things and all these secret societies?
Well, you have to have a brother that's cooking there
yeah.
and look over his shoulder while he's texting.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one kind of jumped out, and it filled up pretty quick
because
it was. I know I talked to Sue.
Right.
Right.
And it's her brother, Fred.
Right.
And so she told me, do you know anyone who'd be interested in doing one?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into Tori at the restaurant and said, hey, how do you ever, he'd been talking about how he wanted to do one, a dinner, you know, a special set dinner somewhere away from everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the hidden diner, you know, you have to get on that list, I guess. And so, if you're at the market and you see the Tin Town tacos, I don't even know if he wants me talking about it.
Yeah.
We're promoting him without his knowledge.
That's right.
I think there's quite a few. I'm sure that there'd be quite a few ways. I know that there's some local foodies too that you can definitely just keeping in touch with them and whether it's by Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, not to
realistically, no, I, yeah. I you know, don't get out too much at night. So
right.
Like,
not so easy.
Well, I have to also, I mean, Aaron over at Avenue Bistro, his one table.
Yeah.
Which is a fabulous event.
Yeah, I would like
I know
to.
I'm going to that next week. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Which is on our list to talk about. And it's the one big table. So they have the one table, the full length of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Sometimes they fill some booths depending on how many people they have in there. Yeah. I did one with him too.
About two times ago. Yeah.
And so this one's going to be a Paris theme. Paris in the 20s.
Fun.
So
yeah. I think Flapper fun.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think he does a 4 or 5 course dinner. It's $35. And they do wine pairing with different, with flights of wine. So
right.
Is it the 2 ounce or in five?
I think it's the 2 ounce, yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing that threw me off is that right after we booked, they told us that it's a costume mandatory.
So now you got to get a tux.
Yeah.
With tails.
Well, I don't know. A mutual friend of ours said I could get away with it.
A bottle of absinthe and like,
She's like, just paint on a little mustache and throw on a beret.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably fit.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And one thing I also wanted to mention, if you don't mind, I had run into somebody today at this Tin Town table. They did make quite a few wine selections or suggestions, rather, from the Courtney Wine Store, the VQA store down at the south end of town.
That's a wonderful little store. Lots of local, BC wines.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very knowledgeable, too.
Absolutely. So. And majority of the wines unavailable in any other locations. They aside from their regular Friday wine tastings, which they normally do, Friday afternoons, she told me about how they've just started doing on Thursdays, they're calling it mini markets. And what she's doing is taking some of her wines that she has available and pairing them with some local food producers, what they have to offer. So I think she's given me a little bit of a rundown. There's the next one is going to have Anne Milligan. I'm sorry if I got your name wrong, Anne. She produces some gluten-free crackers and some raw flax crackers, and you can usually find her wares at the farmer's market. So they're going to be doing that. She's bringing along some quince paste and other dried fruits, again, all sort of wine-centric, things that go hand-in-hand with wine. And then following that one, there's Allison Kutka from Happy Hound Pickles and Preserves. And she's going to be bringing pickles and preserves.
Right.
Also some mincemeats and what have you, other little sweets that she makes. I was really taken back by it. I thought that was a fantastic idea, pairing some semi-local wines or local wines with local food producers. So I'm looking forward to it. And she's going to be doing those every Thursday. They're free. Anybody that shows up is welcome to try everything out. And it's between 3 and 6. Oh, my apologies. That's Fridays. It's between 5 and 7 on Thursdays, 3 and 6 on Fridays.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I have to check that out.
I wish I could get off that time. I'll check that stuff out.
Yeah.
I will be busy, busy.
Sounds yummy.
Yeah. Sounds delicious. I just wanted to, talk to Hans-Peter Meyer is going to be coming in on December 3rd to talk to us again. We try and bring him in here to just keep us up to date with some local events. He seems to have his ear to the ground and
knows
most of the events.
I'll be seeing him at the big table.
He'll be at the big table for sure. I know he just did his food news, his EDCV food news for November. So there's some interesting stuff in there.
Right. Yeah.
I forget. You can get to it through his website, I believe.
Right. Yes.
That's the best way to check that one out.
Bon Vivant, VancouverIsland.com.
Yes, that's it.
Right.
What else is happening around town? We've got the Winterfest is on.
Right, Winterfest.
Downtown Courtney will be, something will always be happening down there, whether it's special dinners or caroling or...
That's right. I've only heard just the gist of it, just that the idea is to have something going on every day for... essentially right into the next into the end of the winter.
Right
Yeah,
that's the whole plan. So Christmas parade will be coming. Lots of photo contests, mural projects, street performers, and much more.
Wow,
so that'll be fun.
I think also the next weekend Coming is the Denman Island Craft Fair, which is a big, big craft fair with
right,
excellent,
lots of good stuff and food.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah. So they can stop by your store hopefully on their way over, or if they couldn't find what they wanted, they might be able to grab it on the way store. Excellent. I'm trying to think of. I think that really.
I think that is everything that's coming up. So I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Blaine's. How his take on everything that we missed out. I was sort of looking forward to hearing from what he had to say on this episode. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it.
But we will have him in for next week for sure.
Absolutely.
And Darren, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been great.
Thank you. Yeah, it was lovely.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to The Edible Valley. You can catch us at ediblevalley.com or on iTunes at Edible Valley. Thank you for listening.